The Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Advertising Corporation and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found in his Washington Times Communities column, Forbidden Siegel Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder what God's opinion would be about a growing practice called euthanasia. Well, we had an event in the news last week, which wasn't exactly euthanasia, but it certainly reminds people of euthanasia. Before we discuss it, let me introduce a woman who is always youthful, even if she's never been to Asia. Say hello to Lori Lewis.
Hello.
Hello, Lori, dear. Welcome back to our program.
It's so nice. And, you know, I do have a couple of youth from Asia here with us today.
Oh, would you like to introduce them? What are their names?
Yes, my two homestay students. One is Mina from Japan. Say hello, Mina. She's way far over there. She's not on the mic. And Leah from Korea. Oh, it rhymes.
So we do
have some euthanasia,
but these are a different kind of euthanasia.
Okay.
Well, you know, Lori's a pop artist, and you know, when you run out of fans, it's always handy to bring a fan or two with you. So some people have spare tires. Lori has spare fans that she brings with us. So we're kind of crowded in the studio today. Lori and I have a lot to talk about, but Lori, I'm going to begin with a news event, the news event I just promised our audience. And then when I'm done, I know you have some thoughts on this too. Lori has thoughts about everything, but let me start in, because what should have been an ordinary trip to the retirement home dining room turned into a nightmare. And it was the last nightmare 87-year-old Lorraine Bayless would ever experience. The treatment of this poor woman at Glenwood Gardens in Bakersfield, California, in my opinion, marks an even greater nightmare for the moral bankruptcy of our once great nation. When Bayless suddenly collapsed, a nurse employee of Glenwood Gardens promptly called 911 asking for an ambulance. Okay, so far so good. So far so good. But then when the 911 dispatcher asked the nurse if she was performing CPR, the nurse informed her that according to policy, she would not. Now, the audio is not super clear, but I'd like you to pay real hard attention. This was a 7-minute, 16-second phone call. We're not going to play all of it. We're just going to play a couple of minutes. But here is a portion of this chilling 911 call.
We need to get CPR started. That's not enough. Okay.
We can't do CPR.
Okay, then hand the phone. Hand the phone to the passerby. If you can't do it, I need to hand it to the passerby. I'll have her do it. Or if you've got any citizens there, I'll have them.
No.
Anybody there can do CPR. Give them the phone, please. I understand if your facility is not willing to do that, give the phone to that passerby, that stranger that had the vent. This woman's not breathing enough. She's going to die if we don't get this started. Do you understand?
I understand.
Okay.
I am a nurse, but I cannot have our other senior citizens who don't know CPR.
I will instruct them
in a dining room.
I will instruct them. Is there anyone there who's willing? Okay. I don't understand why you're not willing to help this patient.
I am.
Okay, great. Then I'll walk you through it all. EMS takes the liability for this, Colleen. I'm happy to help you, okay? This is EMS protocol. Okay?
Yeah, by the way. I don't know where he is, but she's yelling at me and saying that we have to have one of our other residents perform CPR and still instruct, and I'm not going to do that. And what is that call?
Colleen, is there anybody that works there that's willing to do it?
We can't.
Are we just
going to
wait? We're going to let this lady die?
Well, that's why we're calling 911.
We can't wait. She can't wait right now. She is stopping breathing. She can't wait for them to get there.
But she's taken three breaths.
It's not enough. We need to get CPR started.
I know. He's saying we don't, so you can talk to my boss, and I'm...
Okay.
I don't know.
They're refusing CPR. They're going to let her die. By the facility, yeah.
When will the fire department be here? When will the...
They're coming as quick. They've been on the way all this time, okay. But we can't wait. This lady's going to die.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, if you get anybody, any stranger that happens to walk by that's willing to help, okay. I understand if your boss is telling you you can't do it.
Yeah.
But if there's any, as a human being, I don't, you know, is there anybody that's willing to help this lady and not let her die?
Not at this time.
No, they won't touch her at all.
Wow. Don't you love those words? Is there anybody there? We can talk them through it on the phone. Is there anybody there that can give her CPR? Otherwise, she's going to die. The answer, not at this time. They sound as casual as a coffee shop waitress saying, I'll be right with you. But the words are also chilling because in this case, not at this time means never. Now, in a written statement, Jeffrey Toomer, executive director of Glenwood Gardens, defended his employee. He said, and I quote, in the event of a health emergency at this independent living community, our practice is to immediately call emergency medical personnel for assistance and to wait with the individual needing attention until such personnel. That is the protocol we follow. Now, Toomer continued his defense by saying that all residents are informed about their policy and must agree to it before moving in. Be of good cheer, though. Toomer did offer condolences to Bayless's family. Well, that's a relief. For a minute, these guys really had me worried. I don't know what people are paying them to care for their senior parents, but whatever the amount, you got to believe me, it's too much. Ironically, Bayless's daughter told the local TV station that she was, quote-unquote, satisfied with the care her mother received. Did you hear that? You heard me correctly. The daughter is satisfied with the care her mother received. I just have to wonder what it would take for her to become unsatisfied. If legal action is taken, the attorneys of Glenwood Gardens will slice and dice the difference between a nursing home and an independent living facility, which they were claiming to be. It will also be proven that the nurse really did honor her employer's policy, and the residents were informed of the rules in advance. You see, legal bureaucracy does a terrific job of whitewashing shameful facts. And this is the fact that's inescapable. An 87-year-old woman was denied CPR. Had she been given CPR, she might have lived. How tragic when policy takes on a life of its own, snuffing out honest-to-goodness human life in the process. Remember last summer, there was a similar event, but it had a much different outcome. In this case, Florida lifeguard Thomas Lopez was fired for saving a life. Yeah. They fired a lifeguard for saving somebody from drowning. Am I crazy? Isn't rescuing a drowning man the whole heart and soul behind having a lifeguard? But you see, Lopez left his post to assist a swimmer in a different zone. Jumpin' Jiminy, the nerve. Evidently, Lopez's moral compass told him some things are worth being fired for. If the Glenwood Gardens nurse has any conscience at all, she will ponder this same idea for the rest of her days and hope that when she turns 87, somebody has a moral compass working better than hers. Well, Lori, I know you have some thoughts about this as well, because when we talked about the show yesterday on the phone, you brought this up. It's almost hard to know what to say to something like this.
I was surprised. One of the things that I, because I didn't hear the whole 911 call when you had posted it on your website, the one thing that the woman was telling her coworker that she had 911 on the line and the lady was yelling at her. I did not hear the 911 lady yelling at her.
She wasn't yelling at her at all. She was very calmly but firmly trying to get her to save a life.
She was not yelling in any way, shape, or form.
Of course not. Of course she wasn't.
But this is just kind of another example of a more passive senior abuse situation. I don't know if you've ever dealt with Going into these homes, because, you know, as an artist, I've gone to many of these homes.
Actually, when I was in college, I had a part-time job working at a convalescent home. I didn't keep it for more than 6 months because it was so depressing. And I thought the people were treated abominably. Now, I've been to much better retirement homes than that. There's excellent ones also. But you are onto something. This is the way our society is going. And again, this was not exactly euthanasia, but boy, when Obamacare was being proposed and people tried to warn that there would be death panels, and Obama said, anybody who says there are death panels, death panel meaning people that are going to decide who can get treatment, who is, Obama said those who claim there were death panels were lying. Well, he was lying. No, there's no place where you have a heading called death panels, but you have people deciding who may or may not be too old to receive a certain treatment.
That's true.
Now, that was already going on with private insurance companies, but now it's going on with the government. And it's a real dangerous
time. But this is going on all the time. I mean, you know, I have friends who are in the medical field, and when someone falls or something happens to someone in the hospital, and they say, well, you know, this patient has been, you know, pretty much on their last legs for the last few weeks, and, you know, them falling or them, you know, having this incident would probably be a quote unquote good thing for them.
Oh, yeah. And we have people that are going to say, you know, you've lived your life and we're the village here.
But you know, how does a person live with that on their conscience that they didn't at least try? I mean, she could have still died because of getting the CPR. She probably would have still died. I mean,
well, look
you
at
know.
The things that add up. We're living in a culture of physician-assisted suicide, abortions, and then beyond abortions, late-term abortions. There have even been actual infanticides that have, you know, Obama passed a bill when he was a state senator or would not vote for a bill that would have saved the life of live babies being born as a result of botched up abortions. They weren't even giving them care. That is infanticide. And then you have the physician-assisted suicides. The only thing missing in between is that sooner or later, somebody's going to start deciding when somebody's too old and they've lived
their
life.
They already are doing that. I mean, when my mother was in the hospital and she got to a point in, you know, she was only 71 years old. She had a lot of things that were shutting down. And they actually came to us, the family, because they had already given her morphine. And they said, you know, we're going to try to slow down her breathing. This is happening. That's happening. We're going to give her a little extra dose of morphine. But the thing is that if we do give her this extra morphine, then she could die. Well, she did die. I mean, we watched her pulse go from, you know, 90 to zero in, you know, 45 seconds. It was a very...
That's harrowing. You know, the only thing I would say is if a person themselves says, you know, I'm ready to go. I don't want to go through all the pain. That's one thing. But when you start involving the doctors in the process,
exactly.
I just think the next step is that person will not have any choice and it'll be left up to the doctors. Well, you're listening to The Bob Siegel Show with our delightful rotating co-host, Lori Lewis, and we will be right back.
Hey, this is Lori K. Lewis, a frequent co-host on The Bob Siegel Show, Talk Radio 1170 on KCBQ. If you have questions or comments during this radio broadcast, please call Bob at this toll-free number, 1-888-344-1170. Again, the number is 1-888-344-1170. We'd like to hear what you have to say.
Listening to The Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel and Lori Lewis on KCBQ, Intelligent Talk Radio. If we have Lori Lewis, it must be intelligent.
And we would like to hear what you have to say.
So, Lori, we've been talking not only about this horrible story of the woman that they denied CPR to, but just the times we're living in, the disrespect, not just for the elderly, but life. I mean, look at groups like PETA. When the Palestinians blow up Israelis, you don't hear anything. The Palestinians accidentally blow up a donkey while they're trying to kill an Israeli. Oh, PETA's all over it. And then they come up with this website where they show Auschwitz concentration camp next to a picture of Colonel Sanders with a bucket of extra crispy chicken. And they call it the new Holocaust. Eating chicken is as evil is killing Jews. I mean, so if we're going to have that kind of devaluation of human life, I hate to say it, but stories like this just don't surprise me.
You know, it is really true. I was in church one day and a pastor told a story about, you know, this person who had trotted through the desert and the forest, and he was out there with his horse, and he went on and on with his story. And it was just what this man went through was just horrible, falling and, you know, starving. And at one point in the story, the horse died, and everyone in the audience all went, "Oh."
Yeah.
And he paused at that point because he did make that point of how we do seem to get very emotional when we see animals on television, you know, on these TV shows that like, you know, War Horse, for example. You know, you get very, very emotionally, like guys are blowing up left and right and you're not crying over them, but you're crying over this war horse. And it is kind of interesting.
And we get attached to our pets. I'm a cat yes, lover. I'm very attached to my pet. But boy, again, people need to have their priorities in order. A number of years ago, a lady called in and she said that her cat was just as much her daughter, her female cat was just as much her daughter as her 9-year-old daughter is. So the radio talk show host said, well, if you had a choice, if either your cat or your daughter was going to die and you could only save the life of one of them, which would you do? And they thought it would be a no-brainer. Oh, of course, my daughter. I mean, I love the cat, but it's just a cat, for crying out. She goes, well, you know, my daughter's lived longer than the cat has. She's had more of a chance. They said, lady, Child Protective Services ought to come and take your child away. Yeah, it's, we are living in strange, strange times.
We really are. And there is a seems to be a devaluation of life. And I think that the, you know, I mean, there's very many different things going on. I mean, you know, you and I, we are not in the medical field, and we don't sit there in the hospital day after day watching people die and watch what goes on. And it has to be, I'm not trying to defend any, you know, this is very controversial, but I know it is very difficult to watch that kind of thing happen.
And probably people get desensitized to it safeguard, as a fail-safe.
Yeah, I was reading on Facebook the other day, someone was mentioning his father dying, and he, I mean, he was in a comatose, but they kept giving him more and more morphine. Why would you give someone more and more morphine if they're in coma? Because I thought morphine was for pain, but obviously I am not a medical professional. Maybe
somebody like they had a different reason for giving him the morphine.
They may, but he died. I mean, it was just like, it seems like that is the end all. As soon as they start pumping the morphine, they're, you know, it doesn't take long for the next person.
And I'm telling you, folks out there, whatever your views are, whatever your religion are, you can say you're pro-choice. You can say you believe in physician-assisted suicide. But if we don't protect the elderly, if we don't protect the unborn, if we don't protect the infant, because we've had, again, cases of infanticide, they may just come after you next. Do you really want our government deciding who's going to live and who's going to die? And folks, this is not a conspiracy theory.
No.
Conspiracy theory means that, oh, it's this conspiracy and we don't have any facts. We're just talking about stuff that, as Lori put it, it's actually happening.
This
it's already
going on.
But yes, I am pointing you toward that slippery slope that could also take place. Well, Lori, I know you had a lot of things on your radar today, so this has been kind of a depressing subject.
Let's move on
to something perhaps a little happier, a little snappier, but what else you got in that grab bag of wit?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the music stuff that's been going on around here.
Oh, boy, yes. Twist an artist's arm to get them talk about the music. Lori brought a few pieces with her today.
I did. You know,
now, refresh our audience. I know you've been with different groups.
Yes, I have.
Something about some Divas of the Universe last time.
Yeah,
are you
the Queen
still with
Divas.
That group?
Well,
you
know,
the Queen Divas?
The Divas try to do, you know, shows when we can, but we have looking more into doing more show kind of things than just playing in your normal lounge band.
So the regular San Diego lounges are kind of beneath you now.
Well,
it's got to be the big time, because I still have glamour.
No, I still have my Harmony Road, which is my duo.
I should say, this lady is so versatile. She can sing old 60s folk
rock.
Back
to rock.
She can sing the blues. You name it. She does Christmas carols. She can sing anything.
But Harmony Road, we're like a mega MIDI duo. And it's Gene Warren and I and Chuck plays with guitar with us sometimes.
Chuck, your husband.
My husband. And, you know, I have been ostracized. I want to say this right now. Not by every Christian friend, but I've had some people put their little noses down at me because I have played in the bars as a Christian person.
And yet in the old days, when you used to play with the secular rock bands, they thumbed their noses at you because you were Christian.
Well,
you just can't win no matter
where
you go.
You know what? C.T. Studd, you remember C.T. Studd? He was a pastor and a great speaker back in the olden days. And he said, some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. And that is really what is happening there. I mean, you know, I'm maybe the only Bible, the only, Bible they'll ever read when they see me in these clubs.
Reversed slandered version?
I'm not drinking. I'm not partying. I'm not doing all that craziness that everyone else does in bars.
And sometimes your actions or your lack of actions could speak volumes.
I try my hardest to, you know, live a righteous life when I'm there. I'm not a perfect person.
I'll come to a bar to see you. I'll do it.
I think you have.
And I'm an ordained minister. Yeah, I actually have.
You have come to see me and have a nice dinner and all of that. So, you know, I enjoy it. But, you know, my history comes from, I grew up in Michigan traveling, with my band of my youth with my sister. And we did Bob Seger and Alice Cooper and all those groups we traveled with. And when I moved to Chicago, I joined the Buckinghams.
Oh, that's a familiar name.
Yes, they had some hits out, Kind of a Drag, Don't You Care, Hey Baby, They're Playing Our Song. And I was with them from 1982 till 1985. And we were on the Happy Together tour. And that's where I met my husband.
Now, were the Turtles also on the Happy Together
tour?
Because that was their song, Happy Together.
It was the Turtles, the Buckinghams, the Grassroots, and Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
Ah, the Grassroots, the opening theme of our show.
Yeah,
right,
you know.
And we play the Grassroots.
Rob Grill just recently passed away not too long ago, over the summer. And then when I moved to San Diego, I joined a band around here, a local group, the Monroes. They had a song called What Do All the People Know? Do you remember that group?
I do not remember. I remember the name Monroes in the sense that it sounds familiar. I don't remember much about them.
But through all of that, I also had the opportunity by getting a phone call from the great John Phillips himself.
Yes, the Mamas and the revived version
the
of the Mamas and the Papas.
The revived version of the Mamas and Papas. I took Mackenzie Phillips' place.
In fact, if you go into our radio archives from a few years ago when I first interviewed Lori, we played a version of
Monday and California Dreamin'
was what we played, the version of California Dreamin' that Lori was in. I think we're the first radio station to ever even play that.
Yes.
Maybe even the only radio station to ever play that. But it was
possibly
good. It was good.
Yeah.
I love the Mamas and the Papas. I was pretty thrilled to meet you. But then you had a kind of a falling out of the ways with them.
I had an interesting story to tell you.
Well, you can tell your old pal Bob about
it.
You can confide in me and our several thousand listeners. When we get back, you're listening to Bob Siegel and Lori Lewis on KCBQ.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
If you're hearing other voices over the bumper music, that's Lori rocking out. This is Bob Siegel and Lori Lewis. And we had a caller during our last segment. He didn't want to come over the air. It was Chuck Lewis, Lori's husband. I can't help but be touched. It's bringing a tear to my eye. He said, hi, Bob, and I love you, Lori. Or was that, I love you, Bob, and hi, Lori? Something like that.
It could be one or the other.
Could be one or the other. All right. You were about to tell us a little bit of, back up again, your relationship with the Mamas and the Papas. You sang with them on tour. You replaced Mackenzie Phillips?
I did. Yeah. I did. Back up the truck here a little bit. I did replace Mackenzie Phillips. She was
first
going...
it was Michelle Phillips, right? And then Mackenzie sang in her place?
Yeah, Michelle was the original mama. Right. I was actually in the band, the Mamas and the Papas, longer than Michelle and Cass put together. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I was with them longer because the band did not hang out that long. They weren't together that long.
Yeah, but their hits were so timeless that people feel like they were there
totally
longer.
Are timeless.
So they sought you out, and you were not a Christian yet when you started playing with them.
No, I was not. I was a coke-snorting, pot-hitting, crazy lady. And
coke, no, let me write this down. Coke-snorting, pot-hitting, crazy lady. Party. Sounds like some lyrics to a new song.
I was a party girl. I really was. And
if only the 60s could come back again, you'd have a good song.
No, if I could just change all that. But you know, the funny thing is that when I got called by John, he had said that my daughter is going into rehab because she's 7 months pregnant and she needs to get off of the coke. And I'm thinking to myself, gee, as I'm, you know, as I'm doing a line talking to him. But I think she was a much worse drug addict than I, if that's a possible thing. She probably did
it
more.
It was a lesser of two evils.
Yeah, the lesser of the two evils. So,
and this was a thrill for you because you had always admired this group and now they'd actually heard of you. How did they hear of you?
Well, they were guest artists. They were a guest band on the Happy Together tour. And so they saw me. And and my husband also had a little bit to do with that because he knew Spanky McFarlane from the tour.
And you're kind
of
best friends with Spanky McFarlane.
Me and Spanky are buds. Yeah, I love her.
Spanky and our gang. Love. They sounded a lot like the Mamas and the Papas.
They
sometimes
had that
people
same,
would confuse them. Yeah.
They did. They had that same kind of genre and that sunshine pop sound. And
I love that. That folk rock was one of my favorite styles in the 60s.
Yeah. But, you know, I did go out there with the band and we had a great time and lots of partying and doing what most rock artists do. You know, and of course, for those old guys, you know, they weren't into the you know, generic-y, you know, crazy 80s coke thing as I was. I think the drug of choice on that tour was pot more than anything. So, you know, I was the girl that always brought the bag of weed.
Oh, shit.
The bag of weed. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, we are on the Bob Siegel Show in case you've just tuned in and heard me talking about,
hey, Christ used to eat and drink with sinners and get in trouble from the clergy.
It.
So
that's
we'll
it.
Get in trouble in the fine tradition of Christ today.
So I was with them for almost a year and, you know, it was a great tour. Went all over the world, got to go to many, many places. And then from 86 to 1990, I filled in a lot for Mackenzie. She kind of came in and out, depending on what was going on in her life. But in 1990, I joined them permanently. And from that time in 1990 is when I got saved. That's when I accepted Christ into my heart.
And did you go and announce to them that you had gotten saved, or did you just...
No, I told them I was in a 12-step program and I wasn't getting high anymore. Because there was a couple of people that were a little bit disappointed that
now, was that true? Were you really in a 12-step program?
Well, I was, yes.
Oh,
that was true.
But that wasn't all there was to it.
No,
you had also found Jesus
Christ. I pretty much knew that, just from knowing these people, that I pretty much knew that if I were to tell them that I was a born-again Christian, that they would have me for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
So you told them about the 12-step, but you didn't mention the one-step salvation program of Christ.
No, I was just a baby Christian, and I really wasn't really sure how to really...
But now it kind of came out anyway, right?
They well, it did. It did. After a while, I think one day I was reading a book on the bus. We were in Germany, and someone asked me, "What is that you're reading?" And if I can remember, I think it might have even been the guy from the... what's that TV show? He's always blobbing his mouth off. He wrote the Illuminati book. I can't think of the guy's name. That's so funny. But he has
I'm drawing blanks.
Yeah, that's okay. It doesn't matter. I'm reading this book. I'll remember it in a minute. I'm reading this book and someone said, you know who that guy is and you know what he represents? I'm like, well, yes, I do. And so I got a little bit of back slap from that. And this was just a band member. But then I got called in for breakfast one day by Denny Doherty, and he wanted to know exactly what I believed and what was really going on.
Denny Doherty is another member of the band.
Yes, yes, one of the lead singers of the Mamas and Papas. And I explained to him, you know, that I went to a church, a Christian-believing church, and he said, well, are you a born-again Christian? Because there is a difference between being a Christian and a born-again Christian.
Okay, we have somebody on the line. I don't see a name, but welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. You're on the air. Oh, this person says Lori knows him as J.A. J.A., welcome to our program.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, here we go.
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to tune in and say hello. I'm enjoying the broadcast.
Oh, well, you rock. J.A. is a local artist here in town. I actually met him on Twitter. I've never met him in person, but Twitter. We're Twitter buddies.
Twitter buddies.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, and we are hoping to get together sometime soon and collaborate on a song he wrote, so I'm really excited about that.
Well, that's wonderful. What kind of music do you perform mostly?
I do mostly like acoustic rock or folk, and you know, those are kind of my influences. But I heard Lori's music when we got in touch on Twitter and immediately fell in love with her voice.
It's pretty phenomenal, isn't it? And she's so versatile. She can sing any kind of thing.
She's totally
She could probably do a coyote impression and sing like that. Not that we need to see her break out and do one right now.
Well, maybe when we record something.
Okay, there you go.
Then we'll be on Bob Siegel's show. We'll come in and we'll, like, you know, we'll do the Bob Siegel Show. Yeah.
Totally. Well, Lori, I do hope that we get to meet each other in person soon and record. Right now I'm in the process of finding the right song for us. And once that I find it, I'll let you know and we'll work out some details.
Well, you're getting closer if you've moved off Twitter onto actual voice-to-voice on the radio. So we're closing in here.
We are. We're closing in.
Yes, we are. Well, I was going to ask you, would you mind maybe writing something with me and then recording it?
I would love to. I love collaborating. So we'll write something.
Wait, this is happening on my show. Do I get the usual 10% of
this?
Yes,
you get the 10%.
Yeah, Bob. We'll create this happening event.
Yeah,
sure,
it's
Bob.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, Bob. You can have 10%.
Yeah. Sure you will, Bob. Now I'll tell one.
10% of zero is what?
Okay.
Nice.
Well, thank you. Thank you, my friend, for calling in. Good to hear from you.
Thank you for the time, Bob.
You betcha.
Take care, Lori. God bless.
You too,
okay,
honey.
Okay, you're listening to KCBQ, Bob Siegel and Lori Lewis. We will be right back.
Your kids ask you questions about God and the Bible that you can't answer? Sign yourself or your child up for a class with lots of solid answers at educateforlife.org before someone else gives them the wrong answers. Are you tired of not knowing what to say when your friends and family ask you questions about God and the Bible? Get equipped by signing up for a class at educateforlife.org. When someone asks you, "How do you know the Bible's true?" do you say something like, "I just know it is"? If you're tired of giving lame answers, sign up for a class at educateforlife.org. When someone says that God isn't real, wouldn't it be fun to prove that He is? Quickly, like a verbal ninja? By using science and logic. Sign up for a class at educateforlife.org with Christian apologetics teacher Kevin Conover, and you'll learn how to do that. educateforlife.org.
When the truth is found to be lies, when all the joy within you dies, don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love? Wouldn't you love somebody to love? You better find.
We all all need somebody to love, but who could be more lovable than my co-host, Lori Lewis? Lori, you brought a couple of your recordings with us today, and we'd like to play one of them. Which one would you like to play first?
Okay, this is a song that I just wrote. Well, I didn't just write it, but I recorded it. And of all crazy things, I was inspired to write the song from watching the show Hoarders.
Never even heard of that show.
Hoarders.
Dana's heard of it. I haven't heard of it. What is Hoarders?
Well, you know what a hoarder is, right?
Somebody that hoards things for themselves.
And it's these people
I got
go
that
in.
Part right.
These people go in and they try to. You know, it's a disease.
Just one of those lame reality shows.
It's not a lame. It's an awesome
reality show.
And
shows are lame. I can't stand reality shows.
I love the show. And the funny thing is, you know, most people watch Hoarders or what do they want to do? They want to clean their house, right? I wrote a song.
So is this your one that's kind of a blues?
No, not the blues one. This one is the first CD that I...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called Throw It All Away.
All right. Let's hear Throw It All Away.
Spoken now, you're running from the hurt and shame. It's
were listening to Lori Lewis, who's with us in the studio. Lori, that was phenomenal.
Thank you.
I never cease to be impressed.
Aww.
Now, we have another song of yours. Why don't you tell us about that one, and then that'll leave us one more segment. I do want to get back to your story of the mamas and papas ostracizing you, little-known information. But let's go through what were the circumstances of this next song.
Well, this song is actually a Thomas A. Dorsey song, and it's Take My Hand, Precious Lord. And, you know, it was just a very laid-back, simple hymn that was sung for many, many years in the churches. But I put a spin on this to make it a little bit more bluesier. And this song actually was number one on the gospel charts on MP3.com for 16 weeks in a row.
You mean this version of it?
Yes, it was.
Wow.
Version. I know. That was a few years ago, but, you know, dreams can happen again.
They sure
I think it's
can.
Number one on the Bob Siegel Show, though.
Well, it's number one today.
Absolutely.
Actually, it's number two because it's following the one that was played as number one.
Okay.
All right. Here once again is the wonderful Lori Lewis.
Let me stand.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out Bob's weekly column for Washington Times Communities. Bob is also a regular contributor for San Diego Rostra and San Diego Newsroom. And don't forget his website, www.bobsiegel.net, S-I-E-G-E-L, bobsiegel.net. Here, you can download past radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and get information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back. I'm here with Lori Lewis, and we have Mick on the line who also wants to say hello to Lori. Mick, welcome to our program.
Oh, thanks, Bob. Hi, Lori. How are you doing?
Hi, Mick.
Well, I don't want to take a bunch of time because I want to hear the rest of your story, too, and I know there's not much time left, but I love this online radio. I'm out here in Las Vegas right now.
Mick! Oh, it's you!
Mick, I got to tell you, if it's a good thing we're on the radio, but the look on her face, she's going, hi, Mick, and I can tell she's thinking, who's Mick? And then when you mentioned Vegas, a little light bulb went on in her head, and I think now she knows who you are.
Mick drummer! Mick the drummer!
Well, I used to live in San Diego, and she knows me from a band I used to be in out there.
Yes.
I've got to tell you, Mick just sounds like the perfect name for a rock drummer, doesn't it?
I thought it was Mick Jagger for a second.
Yeah. Or there was a Mick from the Monkees, too.
Lori knows that's not even my real name.
But it's a good name.
Yeah, well, it's a good name to pick.
Well,
it's a good name to pick, Mick.
I don't even know if Lori remembers my real name. Do you, Lori?
You know what? I would have to think about it. I probably wrote it down somewhere.
I think it was Horace, something like that.
Well, How are you, Mick? Are you playing?
I've been very active on Twitter, and I've been following her, and boy, she's got a lot of fans on there, and boy, she tweets a lot, too, and that's kind of how we got back in touch.
After we knew she talked, but the tweeting's a whole new thing.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, if you're anybody out there, if you're a tweeter, I'm at Lori's Music, so tweet me and follow me, because I'll follow you back. I love Twitter.
Yeah, and you know what? I just want to say this, Lori, I'll let you get back to your story, but when I first met Lori, I mean, you know, nervous meeting rock stars and stuff like most people are, but she is very approachable and very nice lady, and we became friends out there because she was neighbors of actually the guitar player that was playing in the band I was in. I think that's how we met, right, Lori?
Yep, absolutely.
She is very friendly. She's very approachable. And if anyone thinks differently, she'll sit them down and explain to them just how friendly and just how approachable she is. So.
Well, she's easy to talk to about God and religion stuff, because I had some questions, too, and I wasn't all that religious. But
did you have one you wanted to throw out right now?
Did I want to have a question?
Did you have a question right now about religion that you wanted to throw out to us?
You know, I can't think of one right now.
Oh, that's fine.
Because I'm nervous talking on the radio.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mick. Call us again sometime or send us an email. We'd be happy to, because one of the things this show does, not as much today, but we very frequently take those kinds of questions right over the air. So,
yeah, Bob rocks with that stuff.
Okay, my friend Mick, it was a pleasure to meet you. Hope to meet you in person sometime.
You bet, Bob. Bye-bye, Lori.
Nice to hear your voice, sweetheart.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Boy, they're just coming out of the woodwork to see Lori Lewis today.
I'm so happy to hear from Mick. Oh, my goodness.
All right. Well, the few minutes we have left, before another one of your fans calls in, let's get to the bottom. I want to find out what happened with the Mamas and the Papas. They finally kick you out of the group for being a Christian.
Well, basically, that is pretty much what happened. I went on for a while with getting a lot of teasing, quite a bit of teasing and bullying. We drove through Oklahoma once and went through the Bible Belt, and somewhere down there is one of the big famous colleges that a lot of people go through. And one of the members of the band said, Lori, hey, we're going to stop here. Here's your stop. And just, you know, a lot of teasing.
What do you think? Let me ask you, Lori, what do you think motivates a lot of that? Why do you think people get so... You know, if somebody says they're of another religion, I have a feeling if you said you had become a Buddhist, for instance, that they wouldn't have had a problem.
Correct.
What do you think it is about Christianity that just sticks in people's craw like that?
my honest opinion, being a person that was very anti-Christian growing up in the 60s, because I remember the Jesus freaks, and I remember being pressured and told me that I am going to hell if I don't believe this. And it was in a very self-righteous way that I felt, that was just like, you know, who are you to think that you have all the answers?
So it was they were transferring bad relationships they'd had with other pushy Christians and kind of putting it on your mantle.
I absolutely believe it. And there are a lot of people out there still to this day that have that mindset. I believe that God is love. Oh, doesn't it say that in the Bible?
Boy, yeah. Now, Lori didn't write that one. That was written several thousand years ago.
And it is really amazing. I believe in his grace. I believe that he's an amazing, amazing God, and that he can do all things, and nothing is impossible with God.
You think he even likes the blues?
You know, I believe he loves the blues.
Okay, just wanted to get that cleared up.
And, it isn't up to you nor me to judge who is going to hell and who isn't. I mean, we know what the Bible says, and we could look at someone's life and say, well, because of what they're doing or how they're living, this person is probably going to, you know, not see heaven. But we don't know to the last minute what God can do.
We can't see into their heart.
We cannot.
We can go to the Bible and say, this is what the Bible says about how to get saved. And some people falsely call that judging.
Yeah.
But that's not the kind of judging that people usually think of authentically. We're not looking into their heart. We're not saying we know what your eternal destiny is going to be. We're just saying it's between you and God, but here's what the Bible says about how you have to work it out.
One of the band members said to me, you make me sick. Just looking at you and knowing what you believe makes me sick.
Yeah, no, that could just be his own conscience, too. I mean, yes, there's pushy Christians, but the other side of it is, as he was dealing with skeletons in his closet and maybe feeling convicted, maybe he was just kind of pushing that on you.
Possibly. He told me that whenever someone asks me if he was a Christian, he'd say, no, I worship Satan. Even though he didn't, he would just say that.
He would just say it just to get a reaction out of you.
People mad and upset them. And I think that in a lot of ways, that there are so many people out there who really don't understand who God truly is and what the Bible truly says. You know, the Bible is not a book of do's and don'ts and must do's and all of that. That is not what the Bible is.
No, in fact, the New Testament says that the do's and don'ts of the Old Testament have been done away with.
Exactly.
And that instead of laws, we have a relationship with the Spirit of God, and he leads us each day to make the right decision. We don't need laws tacked up on a refrigerator.
If I could have transferred myself to what I know today back in that time when I was being attacked, I would have had better answers.
I understand how you feel.
I did say those things.
Okay,
I did say those things. It was just that I didn't have enough Bible scripture and enough knowledge, being only 6 months saved.
When they were asking all the showstopper questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Can God make a rock so big even he can't push it? That kind
exactly.
of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And I do have the answer to that now. So there you go.
Okay. What's your answer to that?
Yes, he can. And then he says, okay, I'm tired of this now, so I think I'll push it now.
I'd like C.S. Lewis's answer. He said, nonsense is nonsense even when we're talking about God.
I love that answer. That's a great answer.
When the Bible says God can do anything, they mean anything that's possible to do. If someone says, well, can God be 100% evil and 100% good at the same time, say, no, that's nonsensical. There's things even God can't do. So God can do anything that's intrinsically possible.
Well, God can't make us love him.
He could make us love him if he wanted to slip a love potion in our tea
or in
one of those bars that you frequent. He could slip a love potion in,
but he
chooses not to, because we would want people to choose to love us. We wouldn't want people to be compelled to love us. God doesn't want us to be compelled either. Well, Lori, it's always a delight having you on the show.
It's over.
The time went by far too quickly.
Can we have our theme song, The Bob and Lori Show?
Lori's proposing a new theme song for us. I promise to give that proposal all the attention it is due.
Well, and thank you for our in-house guests, Nina and Leah, for being here.
I'll go out on a limb and say they're not quite as talkative as Lori.
Dana, nice to see you, sweetheart.
Okay, and for the rest of you sweethearts out there, I will see you next week.
Thank you for having me on the show.
It's always a pleasure, Lori.
Do I get the last word? Thank you. And this is the Bob Siegel Show. Have a good night.
The Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.